Next Chapter Podcasts.
Welcome to another episode of the Thick Skin Podcast with Jock and Hawk. I'm LaTroy Hawkins, and I'm here with my boy, Double J. What's shaking, Jay?
In the house, man. It's good to be back. I missed you, big bro. Good to see you again.
Yeah, it's been a while. Baseball season, things are hectic, but we're going to get right into it. The rundown for the day. OJ Simpson passed away this past week of cancer at the age of 76. The WNBA draft was last night. I watched it. Yay. NBA playoffs, discussion about that, and the NFL draft preview, and the mystery of the month. Who will the Bears take at number one? I hope it's not that guy from USC, but that's just my personal opinion. But Jock, we'll get right on into it. We're going to start off with O.J. Simpson, Orenthal James.
Yeah.
James Simpson. Man, we're talking about a guy who started his career off. He was Mr. Sports. He was that era, LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant. He was that dude. He retired and got caught up in the murder of his ex-wife and her friend, and all hell just broke loose.
Yeah.
With OJ. What are your thoughts? I know he's a USC guy. You're a Trojan. You won a Heisman Trophy there. What's your thoughts on OJ, Orenthal James?
Hawk, you want to talk about a fall from grace. Like you said, he was a Heisman Trophy winner. He was a college football star. He was an NFL football star. He was in commercials. He was in movies. I mean, you name it, and he did it. And then to get his name and his life muddied by the murders of these two young people, Nicole Brown Simpson and Ronald Goldman in L.A., and it just started a downhill spiral for him, you know, just to get caught up in a couple other things that were going on, especially the incident in Vegas. And he just wasn't wanted anywhere. I had kind of heard rumblings about him being really sick probably about a month and a half or so ago, and his publicist or the people who speak for him, you know, kind of came out and refuted and said he was doing okay. And, you know, I know he had let everyone know that he had prostate cancer.
He was okay until he wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah. But my whole thing on it, and I put a post up on my Facebook page, and a couple people responded not favorably. And it was just simply like, hey man, a man has died, no matter what we feel like he did or didn't do. I mean, we can't judge. There's no perfect. There's only one perfect man. To me, there's only one perfect man.
That's
me. And he judges us when we, you know, when we get to the end of our life, our expiration date. And so he still has family members and has family members who love him, who cared about him deeply, and friends. And so it was more of a like, just let this family mourn in peace. I just think that his family deserved that.
You know, it was 30 years ago, mm-hmm. coming this summer. It had been 30 years. And I remember where I was and what I was doing. I was in AA baseball in Nashville, Tennessee. My grandfather, my grandmother, my Uncle Percy, and Aunt Ruth, they lived in Louisville. They all can't come down to Nashville to see me. And I was in their hotel room after a game. And I remember vividly watching the white Bronco, the slow chase, as they called it, in the room with my great uncle, my great aunt, and my grandparents. And I also remember where I was when we got the verdict of his case.
Right.
His case took so many, the trial took so many turns.
Yep.
Left, right, speed bumps, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. It was just draining on the American people.
Right.
It was very draining.
Right.
And I remember when they came out with the verdict, mm-hmm. that he was found not guilty of murdering those two individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it wasn't the first time that I've seen that type of shift in the others. And I talked about the others. I mean, our Caucasian friends, brothers and sisters.
Yep.
It was almost like, because OJ was found not guilty, the rest of us were guilty.
Right.
And it didn't feel good. It didn't feel good at all.
Yeah.
And I was young at the time, 51 now. So I was 21 years old.
Yep.
And we start thinking about, the older I get, and every time it came up about OJ, you know, he got into that other trouble. He did like, what, 12 years in prison?
Yep.
Some crazy number.
Yep.
And I think about all the injustice that's always happened in our judicial system with African-American men. And I think about the injustice of my brother going to prison for almost 25 freaking years. I think about mass incarceration. I think about all the black men out there who were killed by police officers, who were put in jail for a long time for something that they didn't do because they wasn't able to defend themselves with a great attorney.
Right.
And all of a sudden you see this one black man get off, and it shifted the world, man. It just shifted the way, you know, race relations.
Right.
But I felt like it was okay when the injustice was always done to us.
Right.
And then once the shoe was on the other foot, it changed. And it's sad because we've always been at that point in our community, in our country, because it's always just been one bad event away from people showing their true colors.
Right.
I don't have a thought process on if OJ did it or not.
No, I don't either.
I can't say. I don't. I really don't. I know two people lost their lives.
Yep.
Nicole's family mourned. Ronald Goldman's family mourned.
Yep.
OJ's family mourned.
Yep.
Because what he had to go through, endure during that period of time, it affected the rest of his life. And right after he passed away, OJ passed away, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, he tweeted, "Every black celebrity knows that whether they like it or not, they represent the entire black community. Yeah. Sadly, despite admirable accomplishment as an athlete, OJ Simpson was not able to live up to the responsibility. His life is a reminder of how quickly one's legacy can crash and burn."
Yep.
And you know what? That statement from Kareem, it sums it up. It really sums it up.
Yep.
Like, I don't care how high you get, that makes that fall to the bottom that much longer.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah.
It makes that fall that much further. Man, it hurts.
Yep.
And OJ's a NFL Hall of Famer.
Yep.
There wasn't one NFL team that acknowledged his passing. Not one. How about that? Not one.
Yeah.
That blows my mind, man.
Yeah.
He went in the NFL Hall of Fame as a Buffalo Bill, if I'm not correct.
Yep. Absolutely. Correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, he played most of his career, became one of the most famous, you know, one of their most famous athletes. I got an autographed OJ Simpson Buffalo Bills jersey in my house.
Nice.
And it's up on my wall proudly.
Yep.
They did not acknowledge his death on their social media account. And then they had the nerve right after that to wish happy birthday to a former wide receiver, Steve Tasker. His other professional teams, the 49ers, USC, also chose not to mention his death. God, man, that he was found not guilty. He was found guilty in a civil suit, but not guilty
in the court of law. Mm-hmm.
The justice system they want us as black men to believe in consistently, when it's consistently over years has shown us that it does not represent us well.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know what? OJ, rest in peace.
Yep.
I hope his family finds some I hope they're able to grieve in peace and not have to submit themselves to ignorant people. When you talk about Caitlyn Jenner, her tweet, good riddance. Really? Come on. Good riddance. And then I think the best tweet ever was somebody that was trolling her said, "Didn't you kill somebody?"
Drunk and driving.
Priceless, man. Priceless. It is priceless. Yep. You know, everybody want to point the finger, never pull the thumb.
Never pull the thumb.
But, OJ, I was a fan. You know, for me, it's just a sad, sad time that we as a country, we even shit on people when they die.
Just another, when they die. Just another way to divide the country, or let the country get divided over an issue. And it really isn't black and white, but it just seems to, you know, that just reared its ugly head again with the passing of OJ Simpson.
Yeah. All right. Moving on from OJ, man. Sad, sad, sad.
Yep.
Rest in peace, Mr. Simpson. Oh. Thank you for your football career. You did some things on the football field that I think he's one of only running backs to ever rush for 2,000 yards. I mean, that ain't no walk in the park.
Yeah.
But anyway, WNBA draft, Jock. Yeah. Did you watch it?
I did not, Hawk. I did not. I'll just say that. I did not. I was busy doing some other things, so I did not get a chance to watch it.
You know, it's I like how that WNBA kind of like they put up this like anticipation of like we didn't know who the first round pick the first pick overall was gonna be.
Yeah.
And I thought that they did a good job of, you know, getting people interested.
Yeah.
Even though the girls did it themselves by the tournament that they just had.
Absolutely.
But I think WNBA did a great job of just, you know, making people want to watch. And I know you say you didn't watch, but like, everybody's busy. And I was able to watch.
Yeah.
My brother, my daughter, we all watched it.
Yeah.
Caitlin Clark, I mean, number one pick overall. We knew that was going to happen.
Yeah.
She is the superstar in NCAA. Mm-hmm. What she was able to do on a basketball court for 4 years at the University of Iowa was simply amazing. Her ability to score, her ability to pass, her ability to shoot from deep. Her ability to make her teammates better. I can't even say she willed that team by herself. She scored a lot of points,
right.
But you know, she has a lot of help on that team. Some girls that can, you know, she made the game easier for them. And that's what great players do. Yeah. They make everybody around, they elevate everybody around them. And she was able to do
that. Yeah. And if you don't say that about her, then you are 100% wrong, because she got everybody involved, and especially if she wasn't feeling it or had it going, she would get her teammates involved, and once she got it going, they let her take it over. But she was a great all-around player for Iowa for 4 years.
She was. And the second pick overall to the Sparks. That's the LA team, right?
Yep.
That's your team.
Nope.
That's your team.
Nope.
The Sparks. Do you have a WNBA team?
I do not have it. I had the last time I had a WNBA team was when my girl Tina Thompson was with the Houston Comets. So the last time,
our girl ain't played in almost 18 years, bro.
I don't care. That was the last time I had a WNBA team. Shout out to my girl Tina Thompson.
Shout out to Tina. I remember we used to go see them when they came in town to play the Minnesota Lynx.
Yep.
Yep. I enjoy it. We used to always go to WNBA games when we're playing. Mm-hmm. It's the truth. We had a good time. With the second pick, like you said, Los Angeles pick, Cameron Brink out of Stanford, the forward. Found out some good information about her today. She is the goddaughter of the Currys.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
They've been knowing that family for a very long time, and she worked out with Steph. And yeah, I mean, he's followed her career. She used to come to his games when he was at Davidson, and he returned the favor by going to her games at Stanford. He showed up from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. She's an athletic young lady. Should fare very well in the WNBA. The third pick, the sky, Chicago. Mm-hmm. Chicago went and did that thing, man.
They did. They got two. They got two superstars.
Yeah, they had the third pick.
Yep.
And the seventh pick, and with both those picks, with the third pick, they took Kamala Cardoso, the center from South Carolina, the national champion, South Carolina.
Get it tight.
And Cardoso is from Brazil.
Yep.
And with the seventh pick, they took Angel Reese from the University of Louisiana State University, LSU.
How about that, Hawk? How about that? They're gonna be teammates after going at it during the regular season. That little incident they had, little dust up. So now they're teammates.
Yeah, gotta love it.
Yep.
The Dallas Wings team over here, they took J.C. Sheldon out of Ohio State, point guard. She can fill it up. The Mystics, Aaliyah Edwards, forward from UConn. Yeah. Minnesota Lynx took Alyssa Pele, a chick from Utah, who I hadn't noticed her until this year, but she went out there and put up a show. I think she dropped 40 in the first round of the NCAA tournament this year. Mm-hmm. Put up some points. New York Liberty took Markeisha Davis, guard from Ole Miss. You know, just all around. And, you know, you're getting a lot of their sport is starting to gain some traction, man.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
You got a lot of guys from the NBA, you know, supporting, you know, tweeting about them and tweeting, Xing about them. I don't know what I'm supposed to say now. Xing, tweeting, what I'm supposed to say. I don't know. You know, Ty Halliburton, glad we finally on the same side. He was talking to Caitlin Clark. Congrats.
Yep.
Welcome to the city. I'm sure they'll link up at some time. D-Wade from Chicago. So, you know, he tweeted at Cardoso and Angel Reese.
Mm-hmm.
Just all around, just a good time. And then the big elephant in the room, people want to talk about their salaries.
Yep.
Caitlin Clark's salary. For her first year in the WNBA, $76,535. What you got on that?
At some point, they're going to have to address that. I don't know what their collective bargaining agreement is or what it's all about, but they're going to have to revisit that. I mean, that's nothing to thumb your nose at, but when you see what the men are getting and then you see what these ladies are getting, I mean, especially now the way women's basketball is coming on the scene and how everybody was following Caitlin Clark and, you know, the ladies before her. They're going to have to revisit that, man, and find a way to push that, boost that up. Cause like now, like she's must see TV, man. And a lot of other girls that I got drafted with her are must see TV as well. So they're going to have to figure that out.
And Russell Wilson, Dangerous Wilson, he posted, these ladies deserve so much more.
Yep.
Praying for the day. I think he should donate some of his salary because he's getting some money from a team he don't even play for. I'm just saying. But not his fault.
No.
I get that.
Yeah.
Okay, so my thing on this is everybody doesn't have the love for women's basketball like I do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my daughter played. My high school basketball team was very, very good. So I've been watching women's basketball for a long time. And then, you know, we got together in Minnesota and you knew Tina out and, you know, all of Cynthia Cooper and all those girls on her team. That was just like the icing on the cake for me for my basketball thing. I got a niece that plays D1 basketball at Vanderbilt right now, Jordan Oliver. And she was at Baylor with Mulkey. Then she transferred to Duke with Kara Lawson. And now she's at Vandy. And I don't know who the coach is at Vandy, but she likes her. It's all that matters. But how do you pay them more? And it's easy to say they should get paid more, but how do you pay them more? If we can't get 50% viewership and people tuning into the games, how do you pay them more? How do you pay them more if people not walking around with the Chicago Sky jerseys on or the LA team? How do you pay them more? Have you seen anybody walking around with a Dallas Wings shirt on? Very rarely here in Minnesota. I hadn't. What about LA? LA Sparks?
Nope.
New York Liberty?
Nope.
You know, the Connecticut Sun. But you just don't. If the people who are complaining on social media,
mm-hmm.
if they want to make, if they want to help this league, that's the best way to help this league. Go out and go to the games. Show up.
Yep.
Show up to a New York Liberty game or a Sparks game or a Wings game, a Mystic game, a Sky, a Lynx. Show up to a game. Buy the merchandise.
Yep.
And that's what we start at. But if you're going to just keep pointing fingers at the owners and, you know, for the collective bargaining agreement and we're talking about, I think Jemele Hill, you know, she said it perfectly. She said she's annoyed with the conversation because of years. WNBA players have fought for more money. And when they were outspoken, so many of y'all told them to shut up or reminded them that they had no value. That NBA had 50-plus years of investment, media coverage, and after 27 years, the WNBA will not be the current NBA. So stop comparing them. This salary is for 4 months of basketball, 40 games. Mm-hmm. Players also receive a free apartment plus car. That doesn't make the salary susceptible. But now you know why so many women players play overseas to boost or supplement their income.
Yep.
We had to play overseas too, I'm just saying,
yep.
when we were younger. Weaponizing this information against the WNBA players is another form of misogyny. Okay, these women have been dreaming of playing professionally in front of American artists their whole lives. Instead of clowning and reminding them of what they're not, buy the merchandise. There we go.
Yep.
Go to the games. There we go. Watch the games on television. There we go. Very easy to criticize when most of y'all couldn't get paid to compete at anything. I love Jemele Hill.
Yep.
I tell you, I love her. I love her.
Not afraid to speak her mind.
Nope. And guess when her birthday is?
It's not
12/21, baby. 12/21, December 21st.
It's not April 25th.
No, it's definitely not April 25th. That's for damn sure. Happy early birthday to Double G.
Man, I appreciate it.
But there's it's a real simple fix, man. If you want the women to get paid more, you have to invest in their league.
I get it.
You have to invest in it.
I believe, just based on the following that Caitlin Clark has her following over the past couple years, and people around Iowa or people around the country have been wearing her jersey, Iowa number 22 jersey. I believe that a change is going to come because she does have a huge following. And some of these other young ladies, Angel Reese, lover or hater, she has a following. People want to see her play, right? I believe that this draft class may change that a little bit.
I hope so. I really hope so. I hope it does. But again, to the people who are listening, if you want to see change, go to the games.
Yep.
I'll say it again. Go to the games. Buy their merchandise. Watch the games on TV. You guys watched the national championship game was the most watched female national championship game in history.
Yep.
Like, watch the games. Watch them. It's plain and simple. Right.
Yep.
Diana Taurasi.
I believe they had more than the men as well. So that was huge as well.
Yeah, and I also read an article, the women prices of the women's national championship or Final Four tickets are 2 times more than the men. Well, you got to read the article. They played in a stadium that held 14,000. The men played in a stadium that held 54,000.
Right.
Like, come on. Diana Taurasi, who is a women's basketball legend. I mean, legend. Legend, she made the comment about Caitlin Clark. I'm gonna just paraphrase just a little bit. It for me being an athlete and for you, I didn't think she was hating on the young lady when she was saying, you know, she's not playing against 18-year-olds anymore.
Yeah,
she's coming into this league, and
I saw that.
You know, and people were just roasting Diana for saying that.
Mm-hmm.
Why? It's the truth.
It's the truth.
Every athlete that plays at the highest level, when you get the young kids coming in from the college ranks or from high school, it's the truth. And why is it that people do not like the truth now? The truth is always hating.
Yep.
The truth is hating. When you talk about LeBron's son, we talk about Bronny.
Yep.
And, you know, like y'all just hating on Bronny because he averaged 3 points a game. I'll be the first to say it. He did average 3 points a game. He's coming off having a cardiac issue. I don't even look at that season as a something I would hold against him because he was getting his feet up under him. We don't know how that the whole issue played, you know, had a psychological aspect to him. And then he's transferring. He's going into portal. He's using the platform that the NCAA gave him, and people are roasting him for it. And then he's declaring for the draft. People have to understand you can declare for the draft and get to a certain point, you get evaluated, know where you are, then you can go back to school.
Yeah.
So that's what he's doing. But people want to people have so much to say. Well, the most uneducated people have the most to say.
You know what I say? I tell people about Bronny, right? Bronny is no different than a young kid whose father owns a Fortune 500 company, right? He's going to either reach out to his friends to make sure that his son or daughter has the best possible chance to succeed, or they're going to take over their company, right? So Bronny's only leveraging what his father has laid for him and his family, right? Right or wrong or indifferent. But Bronny's we're only talking about Bronny because of what his father has done and what his father has said in the past. So, hey, if my daddy is paving the way for me, sweet, I'm going to use it. But at some point, I have to prove that I belong where I am. My daddy or mama can only get me so far, but I'm going to use my resources.
You better. Because guess what? Other people do it.
They sure do.
All the damn time.
They sure do.
And I don't understand, too. How are people out here hating on the damn 18-year-old kid?
18-year-old kid.
And their kid locked up or their kid somewhere fighting them about going to junior college.
Right.
Or their kid laying on their couch a year after they didn't graduate from high school. Like, I don't get it. Like, a lot of people like to throw stones when they live in a glass house.
Yep.
That's a problem I think we have in this country. Everybody want to throw stones, but you know what? Social media has given everybody a platform, just like the podcast, the Thick Skin Podcast gave us a platform to talk our ish. I like it.
I love it.
We're going to move on to the NBA playoffs, bro. So I'm sure you watch a lot of NBA. I've been so over the NBA since 2010. I hate to say it, man, because I'm a huge basketball fan. I'm a huge basketball fan, but I've dedicated myself to college basketball only, college and high school basketball. Once the guys I like, they go to NBA, unless I know them personally, I'm out. I don't watch any games, maybe on the holidays, but the NBA regular season ended Sunday, Jock. How do you feel about the idea of ducking and aiming at specific playoff matches by throwing games at the end of the season?
Teams are doing it, man. But I'm always of the thought that be careful what you wish for, right? You're jockeying to play certain teams and you're jockeying for a position, but things don't always go according to plan or however you plan it. So you may end up starting with a team that you think that you want, that you really don't, or you might face a team that slips through the cracks that you didn't plan for, and now you got to play that team. I'm of the thought that, man, my goal is to try to win as many games as I can during the season and let the chips fall where they may.
Well, the New York Knicks want a more they want a more difficult path to the NBA Finals by fighting hard to win the number 2 seed in Eastern Conference, which for you, that sounds like what you'd have done. Yep. And for me too, I'm just winning as many games as I can. Yep. When you think about it, you got to face those guys anyway. And to be the best, you got to beat the best at the end of the day. And if you're ducking and dodging teams, that means when you finally meet that team, you're still going to be ducking and dodging
them. There you go.
And you're going to be ducking and dodging them.
And the other thing, Hockey, is it's hard to put your foot on the gas and then take it off the gas and then try to put it back on the gas.
Keep all the momentum.
As much as you can.
Meanwhile, the Cleveland Cavaliers rested two primary starters in the season finale, locking themselves into the fourth seed and guaranteed a matchup with the fifth seed, which they thought was a better. The Milwaukee Bucks also lost down the stretch, ending up in third matchup against the sixth seed. But check this out. Their star players hurt.
And that's what I was going to say. I don't matter for you. They're in a different situation. I believe the Clippers this year are in a different situation. Kawhi's hurt again. He hurt his knee. Giannis hurt his calf. So, like, they got to rest those guys to try to make sure that they're ready for the playoffs. So those two teams, I think, are a little bit more exempt than the other guys. But you just can't. I mean, their star players are both injured.
Yep. And the 76ers and the Miami Heat are both considered more dangerous opponents with a healthy Joel Embiid, Rock Chalk Jayhawk baby. And when I say I don't watch the game, I appreciate the players. I really do, because there are some talented dudes. Right. And I am one that will tell you the players are better now than they were when I was playing. A lot better. I'm not one of them old heads that be saying, like, man, this and that, blah, 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 blah. They was the game soft night, blah, blah, blah. Shut the fuck up. Shut up.
Pretty much.
Back in the day, we only had a couple scores. Everybody can score the basketball now. Everybody. From 7-3 down to 5-5. Everybody can score the basketball.
From anywhere on the court, too.
Anywhere on the court. Everybody's dangerous. Mm. So when I hear old heads talking, I'm like, man, stop it.
Exactly.
Stop. You're not a basketball player.
And they do now what you couldn't do back then.
Yes. And more guys are doing it.
Right.
We got way more superstars in the NBA than we had back in the day.
Absolutely. And that's why, for me, I'm a little bit different than you, Hawk. I just like watching these young players play and run around. And I also like when we grew up, man, it was the Celtics, Pistons, Lakers, you know, then the Bulls and you know, teams like that, the Utah Jazz, you know, they were in it every year. But now, like, look at the Thunder, right? The Nuggets won the championship last year. The Timberwolves are, you know what I mean? I mean, they were really good with Kevin Garnett back when we were in Minnesota. But I just love seeing the Knicks. Nobody thought much of the Knicks, right? I just love seeing teams like that who just come out of nowhere and make the playoffs and seedings exciting.
And that's what they're doing. Double J, the NFL draft is just around the corner, more like next week. And the Chicago Bears have a very, very important pick to make, choice to make. They sent their quarterback that they drafted out of the Ohio State Buckeye, sent him to the Steelers. And we all know that they have to take a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost impossible. It's almost unfathomable that they will not take a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking at Caleb Williams. He's a USC guy, I think, by way of Oklahoma, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on Mr. Williams? You saw him play a couple times this year, or a couple times during his career at USC, fellow Trojan.
My thoughts on Caleb Williams is he's going to be in the same predicament that Justin Fields was in Chicago prior to, you know, him getting there. Right? I mean, they went out and got Keenan Allen, and he made a couple more moves on the offensive side to try to get him some people to take the pressure off of him. But he's going to be in the same situation. He's going to be he's going to be thrust into an offense to where he has to try to carry a team and try to get this team out of the doldrums or where they've been the last couple years, right? I think it's a lot of pressure for him, right? I don't think he had as great a year this past year as he had the year before. It's just going to be – he had so many playmakers at his disposal at SC, right? And we still didn't win. So, like – and you know just as well as I know how tough those people are in Chicago, right? And you know just as well as I know some of the incidents that Caleb Williams has gone through this year at USC, right? To a very unhostile situation. He's going to a highly hostile situation. I don't know if those two are going to mesh with him. those are my thoughts on Caleb Williams.
Well, I think the Bears did themselves an injustice because they had a guy that I didn't think that they gave him enough weapons around him to fully tap into his full potential, and that's in Justin Fields. Are they going to do the same with Caleb Williams, like you were saying? I think that Justin Fields is more talented than Caleb Williams.
That's what I think.
And just a personal opinion. I don't know shit from shit. I'm sorry. I don't, but we all got an opinion. I just, again, with Fields, I think it's always a good thing for guys, for teams that can do it. You draft a guy out of college and let him sit. Let him run the other team's offense in practice throughout the week. Let him play against the number one, your first string defense and all that throughout the week, at least for about 8 to 10 weeks. And then if you want to give him the keys to the Ferrari, then do it. I think that works a lot better when you have guys who don't have to come in and play right away, and you don't put the entire franchise on his back. It sounds good when you take a quarterback number one. Yeah. Oh, he's quarterback number one. Yeah. You know, he's this. He's the most mature guy. Those other guys on defense don't give two shits about him being the number one pick overall.
They sure don't. They sure don't.
And there's one thing about quarterbacks, young quarterbacks, when they get hit early and often, it affects their decision-making.
Their psyche.
And it also affects their trajectory and how good they could be in the NFL.
I think of three young quarterbacks that come to mind, Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers, and Patrick Mahomes. All three of those quarterbacks, and not so much Jordan, but he's on that trajectory. Yeah. They sat and they watched. And then once they got their chance, they never relinquished their status. Okay? Bringing a guy in like this to try to turn an organization around that's been in turmoil, right? And I will say, I believe Justin Fields had three different offensive coordinators in his time there.
Recipe for disaster.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, I'm not hoping and praying for his downfall, but it just seems like it's kind of the same situation in which Justin Fields left.
Let's move on to Marvin Harrison Jr.,
yeah,
wide receiver out of Ohio State. His father is an NFL Hall of Fame wide receiver.
Yep.
And watching this kid play on Saturdays was absolutely amazing.
Yep.
He has the speed. He has the hands. He can catch the ball in traffic. He can go up and get it. 6'4", 205 pounds. Yep. Just freakish athlete. And whoever drafts Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to have a kid that's special.
Yep.
I think he needs to go somewhere that has a veteran quarterback that he can learn from, and you know, to make sure his trajectory gets to where it needs to get to. But he's a talent, man. He is a talent. Yep. Marvin Harrison Jr.
I'm praying and hoping that either him or Malik Nabers goes to my Los Angeles Chargers.
Oh, God, Jesus. Oh, God, Jesus. My Los Angeles Chargers. You guys might need to be drafting Michael Penix Jr., bro.
No, bro. We need a you know what? We need a game-breaking wide receiver. We haven't had one in a long time. So I'm hoping that we get one of those two guys.
Well, you said you guys haven't had a game changer wide receiver in a long time.
Yes.
But every time you guys play the Kansas City Chiefs, I see about three of those jokers on the field.
No, you don't. No, no. I'm talking about a bona fide, take the top off the defense, stretch the defense out, can run away from people after the catch. We haven't had that in a long time.
Really?
Really. Keenan Allen? No. Mike Williams? I mean, he can run a 9 route. But in a 50-50 ball, that's about it. We need somebody like Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers.
Okay. Malik Nabers. What college?
I believe he went to LSU.
Gotcha. Yeah, he's going to go pretty high. Yeah, he's a top 10 pick. He is a top 10 pick. But his, you know, he's a, I won't say he's a little guy, but 6 feet, 200 pounds. I mean, hey, we'll see. We'll see. But I'm just excited. I get excited about the NFL draft. Yeah. I love when they make when the commissioner walks out and they boo him.
Yeah.
I think that's hilarious. All these people pay their, you know, I think they paid to get tickets to the draft, and then they boo the commissioner every time he walks out.
Hey, man, how come every commissioner in every sport gets booed when they walk out?
Just because people are stupid. Because people are stupid. That's why. People are stupid, man.
Yeah.
People are stupid. Because everybody that has a job think they can do everybody else's job. Oh, and they don't understand it. Like, it's not that easy, man.
I know.
It's not that easy. Like, I hear guys, especially during football season, is the worst. It is the worst, man. Because everybody is a Monday morning quarterback, an offensive coordinator, a defensive coordinator, and a head coach. And they ain't never manage shit in their life. Mm-hmm. They think they can go out there and be an offensive coordinator, a defensive coordinator. That play was stupid. Mm-hmm. Why would he run the ball on the 1 yard line? But, dude, shut up. Mm-hmm. Shut up. Dude, you still giving the wrong damn wrench to the person.
Right.
Like somebody asked you for a quarter inch wrench, you giving them a half wrench. So, shut up. you gotta have so many years and just, you know, being an offensive coordinator, they're like some of the toughest jobs.
Yep.
And yeah, the time that they're putting in at the facility,
yeah,
they putting in 12, 13, 14 hours at the facility. Yeah.
And the coaches on the other side are doing the same thing. So
they're doing the same thing.
Yeah, so.
And you get mad because you're on an 8 hour shift at your job, right, and you complain about these, right, dude. And
then, right. Well, I was making that much money. I would be all right with it.
Exactly.
No, you wouldn't.
And the key thing is they say if I was making up, you're not, because somewhere along the way you stunk.
Yeah. My grandfather would say if was a fifth,
we all be drunk.
We all be drunk. Mm. We all be drunk. Mm. We got one last house cleaning business. The Thick Skin Award for this week.
Oh boy.
Who you got?
You know what? I'll give it to Caitlyn Jenner.
Why?
Because good riddance, right? Good riddance to O.J. Simpson. But you killed some people in a drunk driving incident. Right? You have the nerve to talk about this man, and you took an innocent life yourself.
Okay. I have to laugh because I read a tweet. I mean, somebody tweeted back at her and said, "You're next."
I saw that too. I definitely saw that. Next.
I'm like, well, damn. That was straight to the point. Yeah. Like, here it is.
Yeah.
I'm going to do something different that we hadn't done. I'm going to give a Thick Skin Award tonight. And I want to give the Thick Skin Award to OJ's family.
Yep.
His kids, they're going to need it. Because of something that happened 30 years ago that involved their mom, their dad. It's affected them for the last 30 years and going to continue to affect them.
Yep.
And with people in society being so, having zero empathy for the innocent kids that was in the situation, they're going to need the thick skin. They're going to need it. So to OJ's kids, OJ and Nicole's children, I'm giving them the Thick Skin Award because they're going to need it.
Yep.
I'm with you. People are going to be very, people are going to be assholes.
Yep.
Plain and simple.
Yep.
But again, great night, Double J. Another good podcast with Thick Skin with Jock and Hawk. Tune in wherever you listen to your podcast. We're there. Like, share, do all those good things. And we'll see you next week.
Tell a friend.
Yeah.
Thick skin.
Next Chapter Podcasts.